You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
We don't want government to run companies. Generally, government historically hasn't done that very well.
President-elect Barack Obama speaking over the weekend with Tom Brokaw on Meet the Press about the track record of the government running companies. Well, obviously, the problem is that the government doesn't have a decent czar to run the companies that it's taken over in the past. The auto industry is looking for a $15 billion bailout, and part of it would be a car czar to run the details of that agreement. But we hate the car czar idea. What is your suggestion for the name of this character? 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org. Wanted one car czar to take over over a $100 billion problem. Joining us now is David Sanger from the New York Times. David, you talk about this idea of government industrial takeovers in a piece on nationalization here in the New York Times. Do you need a czar to nationalize an industry? And if not, what would you suggest?
Now, you know, we invented nationalized industries before we invented czars. But, you know, as long as you've been doing this competition on czars, I had just two modest suggestions to make for you, John.
Please, please.
The first is that we ought to go to the president of Pakistan and see if he would be interested in taking up the job. Because
I can't wait
to
hear
this,
David.
A czar whose name is Zardari.
Car czar Zardari. Ooh.
That would work.
Yeah.
And it might be more pleasant than the job he's got right now, which is, you know, difficult enough as it is.
Right.
But, you know, we're going to have so many czars in Washington that at the inauguration now they're going to have a little separate section for, you know, even Iraq and Afghanistan czar. There's long been a drug czar. We now may have a car czar. We're soon
Karzai could be a car czar. We could take Karzai from Afghanistan.
Oh. That's soon we're going to need an American Association of Czars.
Well, we want everyone to call it 877-8-MY-TAKE to come up with a new czar name. But let's talk seriously about this nationalization issue. What is the track record? Barack Obama suggests it isn't very good in taking over industrial companies, but what is it?
Well, John, it's miserable. And think about what the past 30 years have been about. The past 30 years have been about privatizing national industries. National train systems, national airlines, national tobacco companies. The whole idea has been, let's get government out of these, because the fact of the matter is governments are not very good at reacting to market signals. Now, I spent 6 years for the Times in Japan at a time that they were actually moving away from nationalization. And there's a lot in the proposal that is now circulating through Congress that reminds me of the days when I would cover the Ministry of International Trade and Industry, which was the giant bureaucracy that came together and helped assemble the world's most successful car industry, the Japanese car industry. But even many in that industry, including Suichiro Honda, the founder of Honda, came to the conclusion that government planners don't come up with many new ideas for cars or anything else.
But aren't we talking about a temporary measure, David? And really, what is the alternative?
You are talking about a temporary measure, but we don't know how temporary. At the opening, you referred to $15 billion. That $15 billion is to get us through the next couple of months. What we're talking about in the way of infusions to really restructure the car industry, $15 billion will be, you know, a pint of oil in this engine.
Right. Well, the $15 billion is to get GM through the next couple of weeks. It isn't even months at that point. But what about the U.S. government takeover of Lockheed back, I believe, in the 70s? It restructured the defense industries. Is the fact that the government was also the chief buyer of defense products the key reason why that seemed to work at Lockheed so long ago?
We have had individual companies that this has worked to some degree with. Obviously, there was the Chrysler bailout, which the United States made money on. There was the Lockheed case. I mentioned in the story this morning the steel seizure case, which came out of something different. It was President Truman literally seizing the steel mills because of a threatened strike. And he did this under presidential powers that the Supreme Court soon ruled did not exist. But in this case, we're discussing a much longer-term transformation of an entire industry. or I should say, part of an industry. And this is part of the difficulty that the incoming administration has not addressed. We have an overall car industry in the United States. It's made up partly of the big three and partly of companies like Toyota, Honda, BMW, Mercedes, others who have built factories in the United States, employed Americans, and made a profit doing it, proving that it can be done, right? They are not being offered the same kind of deal now. You might say, well, of course not. They're the ones who have been beating the big three here. But we have been going around the world for three decades as a country, insisting that other nations treat American companies the same way they treat their own national country.
And we'll be violating that principle if we put this bailout into work.
We will be. And what happens when China and France and many others turn around and do the same to our company?
You know what frustrates me, though, in looking at this debate here, and we were talking about this morning before we went on the air, is that once again, fairly straightforward, complicated, but still straightforward economics gets clouded and messed up with a bunch of moralizing about nationalization is bad, some sort of puritanical stigma about getting involved. It seems that Congress is just sort of holding its nose and doing this in a way that ensures failure.
Well, we don't know if it's going to ensure failure or not. I mean, it's very understandable, given the political atmosphere now and given the record of the auto industry in not paying attention to calls for reform in the past, that if taxpayers are going to pay this money, they will want to, as President-elect Obama said, make sure that the auto companies aren't coming back in a few months for more because they haven't fundamentally changed. And yet you can't fundamentally change the companies without setting huge conditions on these loans. And that's what gets you into the nationalization paradox.
I mean, but here's the problem, David. Lawmakers, the industry, bankers, they've all been complicit in the journey the automakers have been on for the last couple of decades.
That's right.
To hold your nose at this point is absurd. The industry is in trouble. The question is, what can be done or not by the government to set it in a new direction? Given your experience and the stories that you've covered, what do you think should be the priority and the steps taken by the federal government to move forward?
I think the first thing we need to do is try to establish here what it is we are trying to accomplish. Are we trying to save the companies? Are we trying to save the jobs? Or lastly, are we just trying to buy ourselves some time so that we don't have bankruptcies and layoffs at a moment of recession that could, you know, further push us over the edge?
And Congress hasn't really been clear on what it is
they
we
have
are
not
doing.
Been. Read that bill. You can't tell. So if you want to save the companies, then you do something like what you're doing. If you want to save the jobs, then you may go out, including to foreign buyers, and say, are there facilities here that you would be willing to buy if you promise us that you're going to keep people employed, maybe on different terms, but you're going to keep them employed?
But then a third scenario would be something maybe on the order of the campaign rhetoric that we heard, particularly from Barack Obama, a kind of Manhattan project to basically fund a fundamentally new kind of solution to the transportation problem, a exotic, even beyond electric car kind of thing, you know, that would mirror the moonshot.
That's a fabulous idea, but it's a long-term solution that you certainly need. But we also have a short-term crisis that it wouldn't address. And so you probably have to go do both. Now, President Bush's approach to this was early in his term, he asked the American car makers to come out and put, you know, their hydrogen cars and so forth out on the South Lawn. And he walked around these prototypes and said how great it was and sent them on their way. And the amount of funding that we have put into advanced energy research in the past few years has been relatively tiny as a government. And so those cars aren't a whole lot closer to production. So what you're discussing is a great long-term project, I think the ultimate long-term project, because it gets to energy and the environment and so forth, freedom from Middle East oil and so forth. It's not going to help you if you're a line worker in Flint, Michigan right now, worried about whether your job's around in a month.
Well, David Sanger, as usual, thanks so much for joining us. David Sanger is a New York Times reporter in the Washington Bureau talking about nationalization and the track record of the U.S. and the complexity of the debate on nationalization, especially if you're going to have a car czar to oversee the whole thing, and you hate the name car czar.
Hi, this is Kevin Jones calling from Brooklyn, New York, and I believe that the auto bailout person should be known as the autoimmune system.
Your suggestion for cars are at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org. That was an interesting discussion. Thanks so much.
Autoimmune system, good.